This is one of the most notoriously heavy muscle cars of the 21st century, and this is the four-cylinder Honda engine we're about to swap into it.
From the beginning of time, engine swaps have always had one simple recipe. Big engine, small car.
And while I am a fan of the traditional methods, now we're gonna pull the Uno reverse card in the name of science and prove once and for all that size doesn't matter. And this is our test subject, a 2021 Dodge Charger Hellcat Redeye. It's a 4,600 pound, 797 horsepower American brick. Though technically ours is a little bit lighter, it makes exactly 797 less horsepower. Yeah, in typical Mopar fashion, it got stripped. As for our new power plant though, well, it's arguably the best four-cylinder of all time. This is Honda's purebred motorsports engine, the K24. It's the 2.4 liter heart that powers their long line of road legal race cars like the Accord, the CRV, the Element. It makes 200 horsepower from the factory, but with a few minor modifications like aftermarket rods and pistons, a ported cylinder head, and probably most importantly, a giant turbo, they're capable of over 1,000 horsepower, which would be plenty of fighting power when we line this thing up against a real Hellcat at the track. That is, of course, assuming that that can actually fit in there. Which sounds like an absurd question, right? We got this giant hole and an engine that's half the size of the V8 that came out of it. You'd think that'd be the last thing we're worried about, but I'm not so sure. Length-wise and width-wise, we're golden. Honestly, we could probably fit two K-series in here if we really wanted to. It's this way though, vertically, that's what's got me a little bit concerned. While the Hellcat engine is a good bit taller than the K20, it's got a really specific front sump oil pan that's tight to the engine where it passes over the subframe and steering rack, but drops down into this big hole in the front to do all its oil pan type activities. Yeah, the K-Series oil pan doesn't do any of that, which effectively, kind of, sort of at least, makes this functionally taller than a Hellcat engine, at least in this chassis. Then, this already looks comical in here. We need to get down under the cowl first. Because it's in there, not very well, but it's in there. Yeah, we were right to be worried. Very right. Before we even get started on that whole height issue though, we gotta get our engine tilt dialed in. And I know that sounds weird, but one of the unique, though, is unique even the right word?
For this?
Yeah. I guess technically. One of the unique features of the K-Series is it sits really tilted. Now one thing that this tilt makes very deceiving is the fact that this engine still needs to go that way by a lot. This red valve cover is gonna be sitting way to the passenger side of this engine bay because we need the crank to be dead center. That's about right. So we're in line-ish. We got that whole tilt thing down, which just looks absurd. But now we got to get back to that whole height thing. We don't know how much it needs to come down. We just know that it's a lot. First step, I guess, is trying to get it under this little wiper cowl support bar. Right now, it's buttoned up against that. And at the very least, we know it needs to go under that and back a bit. And considering that the oil pan's already sitting on the steering rack, yeah, we ain't looking so hot.
We got room or do I need to come up?
Up.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're good.
Teamwork makes the dream work, baby.
Uno oil pan off.
We have not even one full finger between the pickup and the steering rack.
But that's a problem.
That's a big problem.
All right, I guess that's coming off too. Trust me, I know the oil pump hitting the steering rack seems like a catastrophic type issue, but it's actually not the biggest deal in the world. While I was doing research for this swap, I learned that anytime you're running a K-Series in a rear-wheel drive configuration like this, you pretty much have to ditch this anyway. Keep in mind, these engines are supposed to be transverse mounted in a Honda engine bay, so regardless of what chassis you're swapping one of them into, if it's in a rear-wheel drive configuration, you're gonna run into some level of steering rack slash subframe slash sway bar interference, though I do kind of think this is an extreme example.